Welcome to Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. I am your host, Shayna Black, and in each episode, my special guest and I will talk about local events, the topic of access in Cleveland, and sometimes we'll just talk about some cool people who are doing cool things in the greater Cleveland area. I'll introduce you to this week's guest right after this. Be Ready is the go-to for entrepreneurs looking to start or grow their businesses. With mentorship, coaching, marketing, and web design, Be Ready should be your first stop for resources and strategy. Learn more about Be Ready at www.bereadycle.com. That's www.bereadycle.com.
Welcome to the first episode of CLE Food Stories, a project of the Real Cleveland Food Experience. This is your host, Pat Bennett. Joining me today is my producer, Shayna, and we'll be talking about the Taste of Black Cleveland event that we attended this past Monday night. Welcome, Shayna.
Hello.
Happy to have you with me.
I'm always happy to be here with you.
And thank you for inviting me to the event, which, honestly, I wasn't sure what to expect. And when you asked me to go about a month ago, I was excited, and then you reminded me, you said, you're still going with me, right? And I said, of course I am. But when I walked into the old Q, and I saw the building, it was exciting. I smelled wonderful food. I saw all of the Cleveland who's who. And then we sort of took on the event by storm. What was your first impression when you saw the chefs that were there?
So, you know, one thing before we start, I think we should unpack what the event was. So it was an event for, I don't know, it was the NAACP put it together.
Yep, it was a partnership between the NAACP, the Real Black Friday, the Cavs, Aramark, Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, and it was 20 black chefs.
Right.
Yes.
So, I've been there before. I didn't know what to expect. So I've always enjoyed the event.
Mm-hmm.
But with the renovations from the Q to Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, it stepped its game up almost. Like I said, the event grew up.
Yes.
And it's one of my favorites. I've always enjoyed it. I support it. I love what the event is. But it was like the must be at this year, it seemed like.
And you mentioned to me that in previous years it was done as a lunch,
mm-hmm.
and this year it was done in the evening. And that, to me, brought out probably a lot more people.
Mm-hmm.
How many people did they?
I thought they said, like, the winning vote had, like, 700-something. Did you hear that number?
Somewhere around there. It was pretty well attended. And everywhere that you and I went, we saw people in sort of pockets and gathering,
mm-hmm.
and certain tables got a little bit more attention. The chefs were there. Highlighting some of their signature dishes, and it was not just restaurants, but it was caterers, mm-hmm. it was food trucks, and then the most interesting thing were the mixologists.
Right. Did you see the desserts? Did you sample the desserts?
I did see some of the desserts. Loved the banana pudding, which is one of my all-time favorite desserts, which is Magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a chance to taste a lot of the food because I was working. We were working together, which was very fun. You and I, we met up, and then we took each of the room, the places in the room, and then we met together, and we compared notes, and it was really wonderful for me because many of these businesses I did not know, mm-hmm. and being a relatively new Clevelander, having been here about 8 years, it was nice for me to see some other new businesses, and the food looked absolutely delicious, and based on what I observed, people seemed to love this event.
Yeah, I think, you know, it sold out at the last minute. So at Black Girl and CLE, we did a lot of this. We did some of the social media. We volunteered to help and say, how can we support?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know after talking to one of the chefs, he was like, this should be huge. More people should be coming out. Like, why isn't the buzz going? And so I'm like, let me just see if we can help create the buzz because we've been there a couple of times. And I think the night before, I finally saw that it was sold out.
Yes, I noticed that.
And then after, once we got to the event, I was hearing people say, people are still asking to get in.
Yes.
Like, no tickets at the door.
That's right.
Which I think is a very, it happens a lot. Like, we do that a lot. I'll just wait to the last minute and show, I don't know why you want to pay at the door.
Yeah.
Buy your ticket early because mm-hmm. That was truly you missed out.
Yeah, you did. I thought it was a must-attend event. And after we were there for a few hours, I really can't wait to go back next year.
Nice.
Yeah, it was an upbeat event. The presentation was terrific. People were so proud of all the food that they do there. They were giving each other high fives. People were hugging each other. People who maybe they see each other infrequently, but they seem to gather at this event, and they gathered over food. Food is really important in this city. It sort of has an underground, if you will, and some of the people that were there, in my mind, are not the famous faces that we see all the time, especially the caterers, because they're doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes work, and some of them have reached out to me after the event saying how happy they were that I took their photos and that I gave them a little bit of get to know me a little bit more. So I was happy about that. Did you find some of that too?
I did. And, you know, I did an Instagram Live during the event. And so people mm-hmm. that weren't there were like, hey, go check out my friend's business. So they were, you know, supporting from afar. Go check out Magnolia. Go check out this.
Right.
But I thought especially for the caterers,
yes.
it's a great time to find them. Because, you know, even when I do events, I'm like, I need someone to do the event. And there's not too many caterers we think of.
Yes.
Or
yes.
we don't know if you are a caterer or mm-hmm. If you're doing something else. Are you a bar?
Right.
But and you cater? I just didn't know. And so it was a great time to say, like, hey, if I'm going to need someone for a venue or a birthday party, to know that I have options out there.
Yeah.
Weddings.
It would be nice to have a directory of sorts that would include businesses like that mm-hmm. that were there. And certainly they would love the press.
Yep.
So for businesses that maybe have attended the event that would love to be included in a directory of that type, we'll ask you to tune in and get in contact.
We already have it set up.
Well, that's of course you do.
So for
Tell
Black
me
History
more.
Month at
yes.
Black Girl and CLE, and we'll put the link on our website, the CLE Food Experience.
Okay.
We just want to find businesses. Mm-hmm. So I know there's two things happening right now trying to find Black businesses. So one is an actual kind of like book, like the old Black Pages back in the day.
Yes, yes.
And people spend, I think it's like $99 to be fully listed.
Okay.
For ours, it's just create the list and we just put it out there.
Okay.
Because ultimately, you know, before you spend the $99, I get it's marketing, but it's the right thing to do because there's people that are looking.
Right.
And even when I'm looking for an event, you know, the only thing that we can do is go to Facebook and say, does anybody know a chef that can do this or a
right,
caterer?
Right.
And
very informal.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if I don't have the book or I don't have the money for the book or when the book's printed, because I don't know when the book's coming out. But in the meantime, there's a catch-all where people fill out the form. They can offer to upgrade and pay if they want to have something else. But really, you know, that's kind of the beauty of Black Girl in CLE. And even what we're doing here is to showcase and shout out businesses. Because it's the right thing to do.
It is. And I think that for a city like Cleveland that has a diverse population, the untold stories, which is some of what we'll be unpacking over the next few episodes, gives people an opportunity to learn more, share more, and to tell us their experiences. And we're not sugarcoating any of those experiences. We want people who would like to tell us, talk to us, be transparent about what they feel, especially as it relates to food. Shane and I have spent many hours comparing notes about how we grew up, what food meant to us, the things that she experienced, the things that I experienced in New York, growing up in St. Albans, New York, and having a large farm, and then coming to Cleveland and seeing that I could actually get fresh food close by to where I live in Cleveland. For a lot of people, they did have backyard gardens. And for many of the people that I saw there, I know that their roots included some of that. They may have grown up in Cleveland, but their grandma or sister or aunt or someone came from another part mm-hmm. of the country and brought those same practices here. So everyone had tomatoes. They had collard greens growing up. Pole beans were big in my house. My mother grew up on a farm in North Carolina.
And not just for holidays either.
Oh, no, no. She had collard greens that were harvested in the winter. And she always felt that the longer they stayed in the ground over the winter, the sweeter they were. And she was absolutely right. But I also grew up with a grape arbor, peach tree, pear tree, and she had some of the most beautiful flowers in the neighborhood. So many of the gardens here, as I drive down the streets, I see the same things. And actually, some of the flowers that were at the event were really pretty and highlighted the food and complimented it. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the chefs used flowers in their drink, and I loved that. The little tiny violets, It was just
I remember those.
A pretty drink.
Because someone asked me when they were handing me the drink, which flower did I want?
Oh, my.
And in my mind, it didn't matter. Like, I wanted to taste the drink. But then I realized at that moment, like, it made the display look just that much different.
They were stunning. And the drink actually was very, very good. And I actually posted up some pictures on my own Instagram page. And I invite people to do that as well.
Yep. And we'll post some on our website, too.
On our website. And to invite you to follow Black Girl CLE. And to follow Pat's Granola, but also share with us your experience if you went to the event. We'd like to hear what your experience was. One of the most interesting and the delicious thing I tasted was the cheesesteak from Capo's, and he insisted that we try it. In fact, you and I shared one. It was absolutely sumptuous.
And you have to eat it the right way. Oh, you got on me for having a fork, remember?
I did. In fact, I passed you a fork, and you just looked at me.
And then he said, why are you eating it with a fork, Shayna? Just dig in.
Well, because we were working, right. And so it was delicious.
And so even when, just the pride he takes in his food.
Oh.
So I've been to his restaurant, and I order, you know, the cheesesteak, the fries, the meal, and the pop. And he has grape pop. So
does he?
Yes. He'll be like, what kind of pop you want? And I'm like, ooh, grape or orange.
Oh.
Like, that is, like, this Black girl's heaven right there. It takes me back to being a kid. You know, that's what we had.
It's nostalgia.
Right.
True
nostalgia.
And so
at that point, I was like, ooh, I guess I'll go grape.
Mm.
And I've told people about that. And they're like, did you pick the grape, though? And I'm like, I did pick the grape.
Oh.
And so I had the pop, and he serves the food comes out, and, you know, just out of convenience, I get the bag with the food in it, and I put the pop can in the bag because I'm getting ready to walk out the door.
Yes.
And he stops and he goes, don't have that pop wrecking my sandwich. Get that pop out of there. You know, and it just, like, because that sandwich is still his sandwich.
It,
like,
is his sandwich. At that absolutely moment.
Like, how dare you disrespect? I think he said, how you going to disrespect my sandwich? Putting that pop in there.
He was so proud of that sandwich, and it was absolutely delicious. But there was lots of delicious food.
Oh, absolutely.
What else did you enjoy?
So, everything. It was kind of hard. You have to come up with a game plan. I think that's probably the one thing you need to know if you're going to the event.
Yeah,
you need a food game plan.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I told some people you approach it kind of like when you go to Vegas for the buffet.
Yes, you need a planogram.
Yeah, so I purposely didn't eat after a certain point because I kept saying, no, I'm going to eat later. Because I knew that there was going to be so much food,
and I
wanted to try it. I didn't want to come there kind of on a full stomach and then just have two people's food.
There truly was an abundance of food and drink there.
And each person had multiple dishes.
Yeah. No one should have left there hungry. They really shouldn't have.
So, you know, if there are 20 chefs, there are probably 60 food options at least.
Easily.
Somebody had two or three or four.
And the portions I noticed were generous, and they were happy to give you a second if you like them, and people were coming back. I mean, sometimes they were a little bit shy about doing it, but some of the food was just, I need a second taste.
Yeah, I just sneak in and reach thick.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed perennial favorites. So Pearl Flower's been there every year, and I'm just a fan, and I love all the work she's doing.
And
so
she had a meatball bar,
and I didn't even have that.
Ah.
Did she have like an empanada or something? I had
she
that
did.
Instead.
I didn't taste that.
That was delicious.
Was
I ate that and then sent someone to go get me another one. Because I was watching the table. So I had that.
Right.
I'm mad I didn't try the meatball bar. And I was going to when we first came in.
Yeah.
Like, let me take the pictures. I'm going to try this meatball. And I never got to it.
Right.
I tried, who else? Cleveland Mofongo.
Yes.
I did Magnolia, but I don't remember what I had at Magnolia. Like, I just remember who I stopped and talked to.
The banana pudding was just,
I didn't have any desserts, and I wanted the cupcakes.
Oh, the cupcakes were stunning. They were
gorgeous.
So,
I mean, right.
They were just beautiful.
They were almost, for me, too pretty to eat. I mean, that's why I missed them.
Yes.
Because I didn't want to, like, destroy this perfect-looking cupcake.
Yeah, yeah. They were pretty awesome. They were.
So I didn't eat a lot.
I
repeated a lot. I did the vegan mac and cheese.
Oh, and how was that?
It was good.
Yeah.
I did she had something else there too. She did a vegan chicken and waffle.
She did. It was in a cone, which was kind of innovative.
No, that was somebody else's cone. I had hers on a plate.
Oh, she had hers on a plate?
There was two vegans. So there was squash to beef.
Yes.
They had theirs in the cone.
The cone, that's
which
right.
Which I love chicken and waffles in a cone. There's a place, Soho does it.
Yes, they do. They do.
But she had hers in smaller sample sizes, like with a toothpick.
Got it.
To hold it all together. So I had that.
Mm-hmm.
I went to places that I knew I probably wouldn't come across. So knowing that, like, I know where I can find squash to beef.
Yes.
I can find Squash to Be. So it wasn't like, I must try your food today.
Okay.
But if I might not see you, or I don't know if you do pop-ups or how, especially mm-hmm. the caterers, I made it a point to try them out first.
The caterers, I thought, outdid themselves. And they were wonderful in terms of the generosity and the abundance of food that they brought. I love the mixologist. Mm-hmm. That was like the secret place to be.
Yeah.
It was a clubby, warm, intimate environment, and people just wanted to hang out there. Mm-hmm. And the mixologist, the whole way that they presented it, it looked very New York to me in terms of you go into a club or you go into a bar, and people are just doing their thing. And the drinks were beautiful. They were tasty. People seemed to love them. Everybody was relaxed there. And they tended not to even want to move out of
that lounge. Yeah, I said it was like a Vegas Ultra Lounge for me.
Yeah.
You know, because you were looking over the party.
Yes.
People were kind of on that lounge area.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And even still, like, even though they stayed up there, it wasn't like they were just getting drunk. Like,
no,
they didn't
keep going
back.
No,
they were just sitting there relaxing, hanging out.
We're relaxing. They were greeting each other. People were really feeling good. And then they would come back and forth. I went up to visit, like you did, and then I moved back down because it was crowded.
Mm-hmm.
The music was great. The singer, the DJ.
Yeah.
Tell me about, you heard the DJ.
Yes, so the whole thing, because we didn't have, I don't remember a DJ or musicians last year. And even if they were there, like, it wasn't memorable.
Yeah.
But it just capped the night off. It felt like a Friday night, like what a Friday night
did.
Should be.
And I think people were dancing.
They did.
I didn't
I saw
see.
A lot of dancing.
Yeah, yeah. I took some video. They were dancing.
Yeah, because at one point I'm like, are we here for the food or are we partying right now? Like, cause I wanted to make sure that, you know, not like, it's not my event, but you know, the chefs that were here, I didn't want it to take away from them.
Right.
Because there was so much riding on it for them.
There was.
You know,
there was.
With the prize, because there's prize money, and then they have a chance of being in the queue, kind of like being discovered.
Yes.
And so, as people were dancing, it was just like, no, but keep eating food, because...
They did. They did.
But it just seemed like everything came together.
It
just
did.
Just in a perfect...
It did. No, I was really, really excited to be there, and I went home with a smile on my face. Now, you and I talked before the... Mm-hmm. Broadcast today where you said it was nice to see the chefs sharing the food from each other as the event was winding down. They were tasting each other's mm-hmm. foods, and I didn't get to see that. I think I was upstairs.
Yeah, I went over just to check on some of, like, the chefs I knew, like, you know, how you feeling? You know, it was your first one. Are you excited? Yeah. Are you pumped? Like, you know, what do you, you know, they were, because they were glad to be there. And some of them were so busy, like, for real, you use this, we'll try my, and they were just... But at the end of the night, when the votes were cast and there was that moment in between, they started visiting. I saw some of the chefs or the secondary, the support people upstairs checking out. So everybody seemed to have a moment to enjoy.
Yeah.
And it was just, like I said, it was great seeing people. It was great. Like, I can't tell you how many people I've run into that I haven't seen in years.
Yeah.
At that event.
And you saw a lot of people. A lot of people know you. A lot of people were happy that you came there. Mm-hmm. Thank you for introducing me to so many people in your network, because I now have my own little new network. People couldn't have been more accommodating in terms of posing for pictures. I posted a lot of them up, and people have been contacting me. Thanks so much for taking pictures, because they couldn't take pictures.
Absolutely.
There. And so I was happy that you and I had an opportunity to do that.
Yep.
Because people were very proud. And, you know, they are putting, you know, their thumb into it, as my mother used to like to say. They really outdid themselves in terms of bringing their A game, and the food that was just meticulously presented and beautiful and artfully displayed. And I think sometimes we forget that because some of us may not go to parties like that because we're all just working and trying to put a meal on the table. It's nice to have someone present something so beautifully to you at an event like that where you get to taste so many different things.
And I think, you know, just the presentation, the thought that they took into that.
So, they did.
You know, like, I had talked to a few people that were participating before, and that was their whole thing. Like, I'm going to make some flyers. I'm going to get new cards because it seemed, and I said, everybody came to play.
They did.
Even if everybody didn't come to win, everybody came to, like, play. They had their cards out. They're follow me here. Make sure
they
you,
did.
Like, they wanted to make sure that they stay connected with people.
Yeah, I just followed so many people. I said, just give me your Instagram so I can start following you. Then I was able to share up the pictures for them.
Yep.
And that, to me, is the best testament to get out and support these businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of what we're going to be unpacking on the podcast is this backstory. Who are these people? What is it that they do?
Right.
What is it that they came to this particular city to do? How are they doing this?
Yep.
Tell me more about your food experience and why are you cooking macaroni and cheese and why is Capo doing his cheese takes right. as opposed to something else.
Right.
You know, the barbecue experience, the fried chicken or even the fish or any of the other, the vegan entrees that are becoming more and more popular. And even the Latin American and Spanish experience because of who's living here and bringing that to the table. So that's going to be something I'm going to be very interested in following.
There was one story. I want to say it was it Urban Sweetness, Vegan Vicky?
Maybe.
She told a story in the beginning, and I overheard her when she was telling it, and she's saying she's been vegan. She cooks vegan because she was a cancer survivor.
Yes, I did hear
and
part
so
of that.
And so that idea that, you know, the why you got into cooking, because many of us have our family recipe. We make Thanksgiving meals. We make Christmas dinner. We make cookies. But we didn't take that next step to share. And so I think that's what I'm excited about the podcast is the story of why or how you started. So even with we talk about Karen Gordon or we talk about a Capo, that's not what they started out to do. Like
no.
they didn't start out. He didn't start out with cheesecakes. Cheesecakes is something separate. But how they found that and decided to, you know, to join one of the hardest industries there
it is. It is. Truly is. But they do the work. They sweated through it. And you saw them prepping behind the scenes, and some of what you and I talked about earlier today was the walkthrough that someone shared with you about what they could anticipate. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you heard?
I think, you know, what I got out of that is the prep work. And
yes.
so the decisions that had to be made, because everyone had to come with a team.
Ah.
I mean, they didn't have to, but could you have imagined
no.
just the one chef there?
No.
Trying
no.
to do it by themselves?
No, absolutely not.
And so most people had more than just them and someone else.
Yeah.
And so in years past, it might have been two people behind them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But to see that they brought their crew in and that community. So, you know, some people had people still making the food while
yes.
two people were still at the table serving food.
Yes.
This was happening.
Yes.
And so
yes.
That community of who's gonna mm-hmm. support and be able mm-hmm. to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so talking to some of the chefs beforehand, they were saying, like, I know who I'm going to call for this.
Got it.
I'm going to call this cousin and my normal fry guy mm-hmm. to do this piece. I want them there. Like, they were making the decisions beforehand. This is what we need to have in play. And so they said, after I left the walkthrough, like, I immediately went to Office Max to make flyers to tell everybody I'm going to be here.
Right, to be prepared.
Right. And it, from being in the space, and I'm the same kind of person. If I'm in the space, I can see how this, I can feel it.
Yes.
The energy, like, oh, I got to step my game. Like, this is going to be nice.
Yes.
And so that idea that, who they came with. A lot of them had their chef jacket with their names embroidered.
They certainly
they were
did.
Ready.
They did.
And when you
they
see
did.
Them in their restaurants, they often don't because, you know, it's their restaurant.
Right.
But for this event, they came out in full chef garb, you know, branded.
Yeah.
You know, take my business cards.
Yeah.
Their tablescaping, you know.
It was very impressive.
Yeah.
It was so impressively well done.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful. It was just curated in a very beautiful way, in my opinion. People were having fun, they were smiling, they were laughing, they were eating food, and they were just, couldn't wait to try the next table.
Yeah.
And so.
And it seemed like the chefs were all happy to be
there. Oh,
there
they
was,
were.
There weren't like, I'm, you know, a lot of them were just happy to be part of it. They weren't, because to be that jam-packed and usually next to your competitor, so I might be standing next to another, like none of that mattered at that moment.
I didn't sense any of that.
Right.
And we were there for the entire event.
Uh-huh.
In fact, we closed it down. And we saw people just converging and talking with each other and sort of comparing notes and congratulating each other about, wow, look what you made. And I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely loved that. And that's what we want to talk more about.
Right.
What is it that goes into, you may not have started out making one dish, but you evolved into something else. And what does it take for you to stay in that space?
Right.
And just to change the way that you're cooking or responding, whether it's more plant-based or are you looking to grass-fed or what is it that people are evolving to meet the needs of the population and in the communities that you're doing business. I'm really excited that I'm going to be able to unpack some of that. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back with you shortly. Stay tuned.